Your Bibles tonight, we're going to be in the book of Joel tonight, and we're going to be in chapter 1. The Lord, when things are going well, we have a tendency to just drift a little bit, and it doesn't take long that we can drift pretty far, because we do find ourselves praying to God more when we have issues and problems than when we don't. But tonight, we're going to talk about this book of Joel a little bit. Well, we don't know a whole lot about the man Joel, but we do know that God spoke to him through this. Tonight we're going to be talking about God's people. Again, believing everything is going well, but it is not going well. Even though they think it's going well, God is doing something here. So Jesus said his house is a house of prayer, and I want to pray here, but before we do, I want to read, and I do want to just let you know tonight that, you know, it's any service that we have, but the altar is always open. It's not for me to say, oh, it's not what I do. It's what the Lord does in your heart. It is what you need to do before Him. I know some guys, some preachers don't believe in altar calls or things like that, but all I know is when I read scripture, especially in the Old Testament, men and women would flock to the altar when they were in need of what God, what they needed. They knew who they were going to get their answers from, and it was God. So our altars is open tonight. And if someone goes to the altar tonight, hopefully we have someone that is strong enough to go up and pray with them, because I'm going to keep preaching tonight. I'm not preaching against you. I'm just going to preach God's word tonight. But it will be, I know sometimes me and Phil might say these are hard, but this one's going to be an in-your-face one. And don't get mad at me, but if you do, it's okay. I won't take it personally. Because I want to tell you, if your life was going great, you wouldn't have, a lot of us would not have the problems that we've had. And sometimes we struggle in life because life is hard. And life is already hard enough. And then we add to it because we commit sin and we have things. And the size of room here tonight, about 40 people. I think I counted 40, 41 people. I guarantee you there's some of us here tonight that have, I'm not asking you what it is, but some of us tonight even have secret sins that we're still doing. And then some of us may be struggling with temptation. And we know temptation is going to happen, and we need to be strong through it. So we're going to read in the book of Joel. I'm going to read verses 2 through 4 right now. Hear this, you elders. Listen, all you inhabitants of the land. Has anything like this ever happened in your days or in the days of your ancestors? Tell your children about it, and let your children tell their children and their children the next generation. What the devouring locust has left, the swarming locust has eaten. What the swarming locust has left, the young locusts have eaten. And what the young locust has left, the destroying locust has eaten. Fathers, we open up your word, Lord. Let it pierce our hearts tonight, that we might be changed. To those who are living in the darkest spots, even though on the outside everything looks and seems nice, may you wreck their heart tonight, that they may open their heart and come back to you tonight. We pray, Father, for those that know you, that are drifted away or struggling with things in their life. We pray, Father, you'll draw them to yourself. And those that don't know you tonight, that you would draw them to yourself for salvation. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. This is the proclamation for all God's people, primarily to Judah and Jerusalem. They're not in a great place. This is a call to repent, to repentance back to God. It's the same message that strong preachers need to be preaching on a regular basis, that we need to repent and turn back to God. Because when you are walking with God, don't worry, we're going to struggle. We're going to drift from time to time, and we need to come back to God. And God at this time has chosen locusts to do some of His business. And in the Bible, when you see locusts all the way in Joel, or when you see all the way back to Exodus, we see with God's people there in Egypt, we see what it is locusts is like divine judgment. It is part of like a sin piece. It's just judgment. It's famine. It's those kind of things, discipline and those kind of things. And it comes in and it wrecks everybody's life. And when it wrecks someone, these locusts, they come in and they devour. So this is for everyone is going to take the heat. Even those who are seen to be living good. And we'll get through some of that. But he says this testimony, this peace is not just for you as you learn. He's talking to the people. It's also for your children. They need to learn because it doesn't want them to repeat it. Does it? God doesn't want them to repeat this same thing when they just drew away from God. And they just wouldn't turn their attention to God. And he says, tell your children about it and let their children tell their children about it. Basically, you need to get this together. You need to get it together. So that would be like you tell your children, you tell your kids and you tell your grandkids and you need to get their act. You need to learn from this. You need to learn from this. Share it, tell it to everyone and repeat it. But don't repeat that way of lifestyle. In 1944, there was a swarm in Kenya of locusts. And these locusts, what happens when these locusts come in? They come in and they look like a black cloud. And sometimes they can be as big as a mile in radius. They come in and what they do is they come in and they did it here in Kenya. And it was 124 square miles. Now Huntington is almost nine square miles. Fort Wayne is like 111. So this swarm was even bigger than Fort Wayne, the city of Fort Wayne. And it came in, and what it left behind it, there was nothing left. There was nothing left. So in 1944, Kenyon was in it. Wherever this swarm went, it was just left devastation. The impact of this is that these just a small mile in diameter of these locusts could eat, 35,000 people eat in a day. They eat and never get full. Their life expectancy is like 5 months. They go to reproduce and they go to eat. That's it. And that's what they do. So the impact was devastating there. There's nothing left. When it comes, there's nothing left. And when it was coming here with the Israelites, they were coming here and there was when it got done, it was swarming, there would be nothing left. But even if there was something left, it says that the devouring locust has left. Whatever that devouring locust leaves, the next one comes in. And you have ones that crawl, you got the little young ones, you got the hoppers that hop, like grasshoppers, they're doing it. Then you got the ones that fly, they're swarming. So here it is, the devouring locust, whatever they leave, then the swarming locust, and what it has eaten, then the swarming locust, they eat it up. And then the young locust, they eat what's left after that. And it's just devouring. That's what God had to use to get their attention. And it got their attention. And I wonder sometimes, some of us, what is it going to take to get our attention back on God? Verse 10, he does say, the fields are destroyed, the land grieves. Indeed, the grain is destroyed, the new wine is dried up, and the fresh oil fails. There's nothing there. Go to the village market, there's nothing there. Oh, I'll just go get some meat. I'll get some meat. I'm a meat eater. No, because what do they eat? They eat the vegetation of the ground. They eat the creation of God's grass. Nope. Everything that was in the way, these locusts ate. They tore it up. And they all thought things were going great. And sometimes in life, sin seems like it's wonderful and it's great. And I'll come to God when I want to come to God. I'll do what I want to do when I want to do it. And so there is a cost for the sin of God's people. Yeah. There is a cost. I want you to think about this for a minute. The locust is common. What has the locust ate in your life? It's the sins that we have committed, yet we continue to live in that sin. Think about the moments in your life where you had a season where everything just fell completely apart. No, everything that you were doing, nothing was working. In fact, it's, you know, what has the locust destroyed in your life? And we just kind of don't want to think about it anymore, but sometimes we need to share it so others will learn from it. What relationships in your life did you destroy? What relations did you destroy in your life because the sin was rampant in your life? What relations did you destroy? Because this locust will come in your life and it will devour everything. And it will devour. It's like the sin that comes in and it devours. And it devours everything. You lose a job because you can't get up because you've been high all day. You couldn't go to work because you've been drunk all week. It's all part of it. You've done things and you lost your job because you got arrested. And it just flows in. And then when you get arrested, you find out, you come back, you don't have a job. And then you go home and then the wife and the kids have packed up and left. And this stuff happens every day in people's lives. Every day this stuff happens. And God gives us a warning here that we need to pay attention to it. Have you ever woke up and go, wow, and you think about it as a Christian, how many years did you let the locust devour of your life? Listen, some locusts devour, and they keep devouring. They don't stop. It doesn't stop. How many years can you say that the locust stole from you? Yeah. A locust destroys lives and causes suffering. Your plans don't work. The plans of their plans didn't work. Our plans won't work. Let me tell you what the world is doing. It's trying to find a way to get through it. Listen, you can't find a way through it. You cannot find a way through it. When they are devouring your life, it's something that we have this unrighteousness life that we're living. We think we're working it. We think we're working it. But those plans will fall short. How's your family? How's the family life? I mean, really, how is the family life? How is the family? You got a broken family? I'm telling you, locusts have devoured parts of our family. We sit back, listen, stop just praying for yourself and look around at your own family. The locusts are continuing to chew on your brothers and sisters, and they just keep living life. You need to be praying, standing in the gap, like Abraham did for Sodom and Gomorrah. You need to be standing in the gap praying for them. Our plans aren't working because they don't work when we have sin in our life. Plans don't work. I don't care how good that we want to make them, how good we think that they are. The locusts eat up our lives. They tear us up. Some things that they do is they tear up our resources. They destroy our job and our home. Listen, many people live in a house, but very few people live in a home. There's a difference. It's because you got a front door and a back door and a roof doesn't mean it's a home. Houses can be built, but homes are built with love. Homes are built with compassion and forgiveness and togetherness. And homes are being destroyed because of sin, and the sin in our lives that we so much believe that we can control, but we can't. The influence is so big. But not only do we lose our resources that the locusts take, our resources, our jobs, and our home, they also destroy our relationships, our family, our friends, and our marriages. This is where sometimes that you are also in the wave of the swarms that come in. And what happens is that the swarm comes in and you might be an innocent bystander and you might be a bit in a marriage. One spouse does something to the other and you have to reap some of that suffering. Never take divorce lightly. But also, locusts also can destroy your influence. Once people would come to you for advice and you start to live in sin, no one wants to to hear from you anymore? Why doesn't anybody ask my advice anymore? Because they don't trust you. Sin puts up signs that says, you don't even see it, it says, don't trust me. Many men, many women of God who've went to the wayside have lost their influence in the Christian world. People stop trusting you and they stop asking for your advice. The locusts will eat up your faith and eat up your faithfulness. They'll eat up your worship. You ever try to worship, sing a song, but you can't? They'll steal your peace, destroy your peace with God. He says a piece over here in verse 12. He says, indeed, human joy has been dried up. But verse 12 here says, and verse 12, but Psalms 51, 12 says, restore the joy of your salvation to me. Sustain me by giving me a willing spirit. Here he is. He's struggling with it as well. Human joy has shrunk up and the joy of his salvation has diminished. Let's quit thinking that we got it all worked out. Let's quit thinking our relationship with God is perfect. It's not. We all need to be working on our relationship with Jesus Christ. We all need to be working on it. We all need to be working on it. And here he says, 14, this is what the people, and announce a sacred fast, proclaim an assembly, gather the elders and all the residents of the land in the house of the Lord and your God and cry out to the Lord. But what does he say here? What does he say? He says something here. He says, announce a sacred fast. Proclaim, assembly, and gather the elders. Get them together, is what he's saying. Because God has something. Because our way doesn't work. You see, we keep trying to find a way. We keep trying to find a way through the problems. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to change this. Oh, I'm going to change tomorrow. I'm going to get clean tomorrow. I'm going to stop drinking tomorrow. I'm going to turn off the porn tomorrow. I'm going to stop lying tomorrow. I'm going to stop doing this tomorrow. I'm going to stop stealing tomorrow. I'm going to stop doing this. I'm going to stop using the Lord's name in vain tomorrow. I'm going to stop looking at this. I'm going to stop doing that. Listen, and I'm going to go here. I'm going to go there. You can't find it. You can't find a way. But let me help you today. God will make a way. It's not that you have to find a way. God makes a way. It's not that you have to work a way. God will show you the way. And it will always be in His direction. But we want to keep pulling away from God. We want to keep walking away from God because we like what we do. We got to stop what we do because the locusts continue to eat everything in our life. The reason people stay in addiction for 20 or 30 years is the locusts keep eating and keep eating and keep eating. And it will eat all the way to the end of the day of a person's life. And they will never experience true freedom in Christ. God, it isn't about finding a way. It is let God show you the way. He will make a way. And He has made a way through Christ. And he says this in chapter 2. He comes to this piece and there is a call for repentance. There is a call for repentance. There is a call for repentance. I was getting excited there when we got a new leader in office. And there was this thing about a little bit of heard a little bit about repentance, and then it was all drawn back. There was a moment where I thought, oh boy, if we start talking about repentance, then this country can really change. Because it really isn't about how much money. It isn't about, you got to do all those things, about all these things that you got to do. And it seems like everything's great. But I'm telling you, if it isn't right here and it isn't right with Him, it isn't right at all. Your way is not working. You got to admit that. It's the first thing you have to do. You want to get your life right with God. You got to say, Lord, my way is not working. Look behind you and see the path, the wake that is behind you. You're making a wake. You're making a path of whatever it is. Is it destruction? Is it a swarm of locusts continuing to follow you? They will follow you. They will follow you. And here's what he says in verse 12. Even now, this is the declaration Turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, weeping, and mourning. There is your life preserver. There is your help. There is your way. That is the way maker. That is Him saying, turn to me with all your heart. With all your heart, not half-heartedly. He wants all of you. All of you as an individual. He wants all of you. Listen, God gave all His best through Jesus Christ. Christ came here and gave all that He had. He deserves nothing less. He should have all of you. All of you as a person. He said, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, weeping, and mourning. Which means you should feel it. You should feel what you've done is wrong. You should know that what you've done is wrong, but just not know it, but you should feel it. It should break your heart. Look back behind you. How many family members have you tore up? How many broken relationships are behind you? You're single. Would you date yourself right now? And then if you say no, I'm going to ask you, why? Why not? He says, turn to me with all your heart. Turn to me with all your heart. Listen, we have to take care of the community. We have to do the things that we got to do. But I'm telling you, if you want to see Huntington get out of what it's in, Huntington's in a dark place. It has been in a dark place for a long time. And it's not going to happen until God's people get their heart right with Him. And then they begin to share the gospel with others and others become and come to Christ. But there has to be a broken heart. There has to be giving and turning your heart toward Him and not toward all the things and toward ourselves. Listen, we need a break here. We need a breakdown in our community, in our churches. We need a breakdown. We need a breakdown from the top down. We need a broken part in our hearts. We need to know what we've done how we're living our life is wrong. Some of the things we've done is wrong and we need to turn from it. The locusts have done too much damage in Huntington. The locusts have done too much damage in your life. Think about your past. How many years have you lost? And then he says, tear your hearts. He's been getting tougher. He says, tear your hearts. It's not working. Tear your hearts, not just your clothes, and return to the Lord your God. Return back to God when you had a beautiful heart for Him, when you were excited about your salvation. Turn back to Him, for He is gracious and He's compassionate. God doesn't want the locusts to come, but He's going to allow it to come because that's the only way He's going to get our hard-headed attention at times. He says He is slow to anger, abounding in faithful love, and He relents from sending disaster. He doesn't want it to come, but if it's going to have to come, it's going to have to come if it's going to save you. And then He says, who knows? He may turn and relent and leave a blessing behind because this is the God that I read about. This is the God that we read about. So you can offer a grain and wine to the Lord your God. What is He saying? So He leaves a blessing, but you also get back too. You're not paying for the way, but you're just giving something back. You're giving something back to the Lord. If you read in Malachi, He says, you robbed me. You robbed me. Of tithes and offerings. Priests, you aren't even living the way you preachers aren't even living what you're supposed to be teaching and preaching. You're not even living it. And this is what He said. This is how important it is. Blow the horn in Zion. Announce a sacred fast. Proclaim an assembly. Gather the people. This is very important. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. I'm very glad that there are some kids in here tonight. Not because I'm loud. Because sometimes kids just need to sit in the sanctuary. Amen? Here we go. Why? Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. Sanctify the congregation. Time to be set apart from the world. We are a congregation. We are to be different than the way the world is out there. We need to be different. We need to live different. We worship God. He says, sanctify the congregation. Assemble the aged. It means bring in the elderly. Gather the infants. Even the babies nursing at the breast. Let the groom leave his bedroom and the bride her honeymoon chamber. Even those who are newlyweds. Listen, you got to step out of that room. You got to, no, we're going, this is, we're in a deep state of problem. We have a problem. And everybody needs to show up. Let the priests and the Lord's ministers weep. At the altar. It says, really, the Lord's ministers should weep between the portico, which is even before you get to the altar, and the altar. But if the pastors and preachers aren't broken, the people won't be broken. And let them say, have pity on our Lord. Let you have pity on your people, Lord. And don't make your inheritance a disgrace, an object of scorn among the nations. Why should it be said among the peoples, where is their God? They're bringing it back again. They're saying, listen, we're getting ourselves together. We're doing it God's way now. We're going to do it God's way. But Lord, we don't want people to say, where is their God? Lord, remember us, bless us, heal us, forgive us. You ever touch the Lord's heart? Sure you have. Those of you that have cried out to God, those of you that have spent time praying, and those of you that have been in a moment in your life where you knew your life wasn't right, and you got on your knees before Him and you just broke. I'm telling you, that gets God's attention. Don't try to be sophisticated before the Lord, because the Lord doesn't see your sophistication. He sees your junk. Don't try to be all suave in front of the Lord. You can come in here with a $2,000, $3,000 Armani suit, and can come up here, a guy can come up and preach, and God's not impressed by what we wear. But also, we are supposed to honor God on how we dress and things. That's all, you know, but we are supposed to honor God, but He's not impressed. What He's impressed is if our heart changes. If our heart is moved. If our heart is going to change. Those locusts that came, all God's got to do is say stop, and they'll just die on the spot. He'll return them back. They're done. And what's it say in verse 18? Then the Lord became jealous. The Lord became jealous for His land and spared His people. God loves His people. God loves you. God loves you. The Lord answered His people, look, I'm about to send you grain. Now God's about, it's almost like God is so antsy to give you a blessing. God is so ready. It takes us 20 years to get right with God sometimes. And God's going to bless real so many times. He blesses so quickly. Because He's been holding. You ever want to give somebody a present and you can't wait until Christmas? You ever bought somebody something special and you're just like, man, I want to give this to my spouse. I want to give this to somebody on their birthday. I want to give it to them early. I want to give it to them now. I believe God has so many blessings that He wants to give out. But He's not giving them out because the people aren't ready for them. They wouldn't see it if He even gave it to them, because we got our eyes not fixed on Him. We got our eyes fixed on other things in life. And the Lord became jealous for His land and spared His people. And the Lord answered His people, look, I am about to send you grain and new wine and fresh oil. And it goes on down to the list. And what is He saying? He's saying, I want to bless you. This is what I know from my experience. I've never went to the Lord and left empty-handed. I have never left the altar empty-handed. Even when we're in need, I come to the altar. It's not given to me at that moment, but what am I? I'm leaving. What am I leaving with? I'm leaving with encouragement. I'm leaving knowing that I leave it at the altar, that He's going to take care of it. I'm coming to the altar knowing that He's got everything that I can give, the best that I can do it. And even though you think you're going to pray for just 2 minutes, God has a way of taking it over. You have a topic you want to talk about, but His Spirit begins to stir inside of you and He changes the topic. And He moves His Spirit inside of you and it changes. And what it does, it begins to change you. And when you leave the altar, you leave that place where you're praying, you leave, you will be different. Because He loves you and He wants to give to you. And not always what we think we ought to get, but He gives us what we need. But He also gives us things that were sometimes not just what we need, but He also gives us wants. He gives us, and He just gives us prosperity at times. This is what He's saying in verse 25. This is one of the big key verses. He says, I will repay you for the years that the swarming locust ate. You're like, listen, the one thing you can't get back in this world is time. I can never live my 20s again. Didn't think I want to either, right, Pat? I don't want to live my 20s again. You can never get your time back. But with God, all things are possible. We think that, I lost 10 years of my life because I lived in the wasteland as a believer and I did my thing and I lost the joy of my salvation. But God awoke me up with His Holy Spirit and I come back to Him. But I lost 10 years. I lost 10 years of what the locust ate. How can the Lord restore those years? Let me tell you, whatever you did for the Lord, you come back to Him, He will make it even bigger. He will stretch it out. He will do things that you can never do on your own. He will make you something in the years that you have, and He can even extend the years that we don't even know, that maybe our life was expectancy was to be 50, but He is going to expand it another 10 years, and we don't even know that. We don't even know all that God's going to give to us and what He's giving to us right now. Because we return to the Lord, we know that God can add years on. I'm not saying He's going to add years in the sense of years, but we know scripturally He had add years. Hezekiah, 15 years. We know that through the book of Job, we know that Job was given even more than he even had. And everything was more beautiful. Everything he had, he was doubled. He did everything. He said, I will repay you the years that the swarming locust ate, the young locust, and the destroying locust, and the devouring locust. My great army that I sent against you. God doesn't want us to suffer. But the result is, it's really the sin that we commit and we stay in, and the unrighteousness that we continue to live in causes the suffering. He says, you will have plenty to eat. In verse 26, you have plenty to eat. And that's a big thing, because everything they had, they were starving. They were in a famine. Those locusts, that big old black ball of that cloud of locusts would come in and devour. It's kind of like your life. It would come in and devour at the moment and just give you that big moment, just a crash, and everything crashes down. And it swarms away, and you think, oh, I got a plan. I got a way of getting through this. I got a way. But then the next set of locusts come in, and they're hoppers. And they keep chewing too. And then they swarm away, and you're like, I got it. I got a new plan. It's working. All I got to do is get another job. I got it. And this one pays $5 more. And then it looks like it's going good. And all of a sudden, the young locusts come in. And they devour all that. And you never can get ahead in a life of sin. You never can get on top of sin. You can never control your life truly with sin. Because sin comes in. And next thing you know, that big black swarm comes right back in. And circles back in and destroys everything again. And God says, you rendered your heart. Tear your heart. And He says, I will repay you back your years. Who's getting the best deal of this? He is. How many of you thrown away relationships because somebody done you wrong? How many of you cut somebody off out of your life because they done you wrong? How many times have you said, you're out of my will. You're out of this. You're out of that. Now I'm not going to talk to you. Let me just tell you something. God is so amazing. We're all like those people who were pushing away. And God says, no, you come back. But you come back with a broken heart. You take care of it. You take care of it. And I'm telling you, you take care of the heart, He'll take care of everything else. You take care of the heart, He'll give you a job that you couldn't get. You take care of the heart, He'll move things. He'll restore relationships. He'll restore family things. God wants to do so much in your life, but you got to let Him be God. Quit trying to find a way and let Him show you the way. And He says, I will repay you for the years that the swarming locust ate. That is beautiful. That is amazing that God will say, I will not just restore what you've lost, but He also says you will have plenty to eat and be satisfied. And what will we do with it? He says this, and you will praise the name of the Lord your God. That's what He wants us to praise. But when you're trying to praise Him with the sin in your life, it goes like this because He's not listening to it. Because you're trying to fake yourself out, trying to fake the church out, trying to fake your parents out, trying to fake everybody out, and God sees it. People can come into church every Sunday, do all their stuff, and the locusts continue to chaw and chew on their life. He says, you will have plenty to eat, and you'll be satisfied, and you will praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. What? Who has dealt wondrously? Well, some of us might say, well, he brought that army of locusts in my... No. No. Let's take a step back. He may have brought it in and allowed it to come in, but we are the one that caused it. And He's using that to draw us back to Himself. And there we say, who has dealt wondrously with you. And when we repent and tear our hearts, bring our hearts back to Him and say, Lord, this is all I got to give to you. All I got to give to you is myself. My heart is yours. Listen, that's all He wants. That is all He wants, but we won't give it. We struggle giving it to Him. And that's what He wants. And Satan knows it. But God gives a peace. You will have plenty to eat. My people will never again be put to shame. He says, it's so much that He says, so much more that He says. But we have to, we can't even read the rest of chapter 2 and 3. If our hearts are not right, we won't get it. We have to render our hearts, break our hearts, come back with a heart, repent. Listen, a joyful noise is not having the best band in town and having 500 people in a crowd jumping up and down, praising. That is not what God is looking for. That's an outcome of what He is looking, should be what He is looking for. What He is looking for is this right here, the heart. Those chairs are for us. This stage is what we use. The paint and the lights is what we use. Those are our just things that we're using to help us do better what we do. But what is He coming in the house to look for? He is coming to look at this. This right here. And that's what He wants for Himself. There's a call to repentance. And it's now, it's not tomorrow. It's now and not tomorrow. If God can repay the last years, the lost years, why is it that we don't go to God? If He says, I'll restore what you lost. You know why people can testify? Week after week, people can testify, not just in here, but testify because they're living the life that God is doing. It's not that, hey, I got a job today, but those who get it from the Lord is different. Hey, let me tell you, God opened the door and I got a promotion today. God gave me a job. He opened a door where I couldn't open. I couldn't believe I got this job and God gave it to me. Listen, that's a job that God opened up. He's going to protect that. You keep with Him. He's going to rise you up in that. But everybody go out, I got a job today. You can get a job all over, all day long. But when God puts His hand on it, it's a blessing. It's solid. He puts you in the place He wants to use you at. He's going to use you. God will restore. He'll use. Think about the years that a locust ate. I remember mine. And I don't want to repeat them. He will put your life better back together, better than you ever had it before. The sad thing is, many of us choose not to go the way that He makes. We continue to say, oh, hold on, Jimmy, I'm going to try this out. I'm going to try that out. I'm going to find my way. And I'll continue to watch the locusts eat from your life. And they will devour. And what about you? Are you tired of the locusts eating on your life? Eating everything in your life? No one has to see it. But sooner or later people will. But you can hide it for a while. But you know if you're in agony and you're suffering. Joshua spoke to the people and said, choose this day who you shall serve. But for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that just doesn't mean, oh, I'm saved, I'm good to go. No, I'm saved and I'm living out my life. Doesn't mean I don't have setbacks. Doesn't mean God doesn't discipline. But I can say today, I don't have a swarm of locusts chewing on my life. Huntington needs to wake up a spiritual renewal. It just needs to hear the gospel. And we got to get strong on sharing the gospel because the gospel has been watered down. But before we can share the gospel, our hearts have to be rendered to the Lord. And sometimes you even have to say, there's been times I've come to the Lord and I said, Lord, I don't know if there's something in my life, but I feel like there's something in my life that might be off. Would you reveal that to me? Because I want to be right with you. I want to be right when I walk out today. I want to be right with you when I get up and go out today. The Bible, Paul says, although my conscience may be clear, that does not make me innocent. What he's saying, he says, inside me, I feel pretty good. I can feel pretty good about myself, but that doesn't make me innocent. Because I thought, I'm going to judge myself. There's only one judge. Because if I'm going to judge myself, I'm going to be pretty easy on myself. And I'll probably be easier on myself than you, than I would be on you. And you would be easier on yourself than you would be on me. There's only one true judge. If our hearts aren't right with Him, then nothing's right. And I ask you this question today. Is your heart right with Him? Do you need to turn back to Him? Or you just need to come to Him and say, Lord, I don't know what's going on in my life. I don't understand it, but I know this. I feel like you're 100 miles away. Yet I come to church all the time. I feel like you're 1,000,000 miles away. My prayers are dinging off 10 feet in front of me and going down. I want to tell you today that the altar in the Old Testament was a place where people came and people come for needs, repentance, for safety, for hope. And that altar is still available today. Because God wants to bless. But He won't bless a mess. If your heart isn't right, there's only one person that's keeping it from being right. And that's you. That's me. For my heart, it's me. For your heart, it's you. Father, as we come to this moment, may your will be done. May you do what only you can do. Is pierce the hearts of people. Draw them unto yourself. We ask it in Jesus' name, who gives life. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand.